Hi, this is Wayne Ivey, pastor of First Christian Church Conroe. Welcome to our Sunday morning podcast for October the 18th. I'm glad you are here with us in spirit. There's a lot going on in our church family. The pumpkin patch is in operation, but it's not too late to sign up to help. The patch hours are 3:30 to 6:30 on weekdays, and 12:30 to 6:30 Saturday and Sunday. Call Amy Lacey or Linda Robinson if you would like to help. And also, I'd encourage you to enter the pumpkin carving and decorating contest. Come get a pumpkin, take it home, decorate it, bring it back on the 24th and 25th, and prizes will be given. Also, I want to encourage you to give towards our Thanksgiving basket. You know, we try to put together at least 120 Thanksgiving baskets to help our neighbors in need. $10 gift will buy the groceries for the bag, and another $10 will also pay for the turkey. So a $20 donation would pay for a complete Thanksgiving basket. Also, I would encourage you, if you feel like you can, to come to live worship. We're meeting at 10:45 on Sunday mornings. On Sunday morning, November the 1st, we will acknowledge All Saints Memorial Day in our worship service. And if someone, a dear loved one, has passed and you would like for us to remember that person in service, call the church office and let us know. I want you to spend a few moments now preparing yourselves to be in an attitude of worship and listen to this beautiful music.
And nothing can keep us apart.
our call to worship this morning will be responsive, and your response will be, "Here and now, let us praise God." Let's be in worship. This is the place and this is the time. Here and now, God wants to break into our experience. Here and now, let us praise God. To change our minds, to change our lives, to change our ways. Here and now, let us praise God. To make us see the world and the whole of life in a new light. Here and now, let us praise God. To fill us with hope, joy, and certainty for the future. Here and now, let us praise God. Let's be in an attitude of prayer together. Almighty, eternal, and everlasting God, who sees all of our coming and going, our stops and our starts, our failings and our accomplishments, we are together in spirit this day in your holy presence. Help us to know your presence and hear your voice. Guide us in your wisdom and truth. Remember our deeds which are pleasing to you, and accept our repentance from those which are not. We have come in love and devotion to your Son, Jesus the Christ. We continue our prayers, O God, as we lift up those of whom we are aware, in need of your healing touch, your peace, your sense of joy and grace. We pray especially for those whose job it is to help keep us safe in this time of COVID. We would ask you for the wisdom and the strength and the perseverance as a nation and as a world to see our way through this crisis in the best way that we can. God, you are so good to us, and the first word out of our mouths must always be a word of thanksgiving. Bless us. Keep us close to you. We pray these prayers and the prayers of our deepest heart in the name of Christ Jesus, who taught us, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen."
God, you are my God,
Let's pause for just a minute and think about our commitment, yours and mine individually and together, our stewardship commitment for the ministries of our church. In today's scripture lesson, the Pharisees try to trap Jesus with a question, is it lawful to pay taxes? Hoping he will either incriminate himself or pledge his allegiance to the empire. But we know better, don't we? Jesus is not going to fall for these kinds of tricks. Instead, with his answer, he honors both the system and his creator. We, you and I, have the same opportunity with our gifts. We can honor the system, our government, our nation, by being law-abiding citizens and paying our taxes. And we can honor God by giving to God what belongs to God, which really, if you think about it, is everything we have, our attention, our resources, our very lives. Giving back to God is one of the ways we honor Jesus' command here. Just as we recognize that the functioning of our country depends on its citizens paying taxes, we know that making God's kingdom real here on earth depends on us doing our part to show God's love in tangible ways. Take just a moment, if you would, to ponder this, and then think about how you want to bring your offerings, either online or perhaps dropping your gift off as you come for drive-through communion. But let's do that together. Pray with me. Loving God, as citizens of your kingdom, we rejoice in the opportunity to share your love with others. Use the gifts that we bring to make a difference in this world. And then gently remind us that all we have and all we are belongs to you. Amen. As we prepare in spirit to come around the table together, remember the words from Moses. You know, he asked God, show me your glory. And that was a bold request from Moses, because at the time, he knew the prevailing wisdom that anyone who looked upon God would instantly die. And yet, because of Moses' faithful leadership, God gives him a glimpse of God's glory. You remember that word for God's glory, Shekinah. Can you imagine what Moses must have seen that day when God shone his glory? Well, we see it at this table that we come to. This is God's glory presented to us in a surprising and powerful way. There is no blinding light, no thunderclaps, just bread and a cup, signifying God's sacrificial love for each and every one of us. God's glory is not always a show of power or might. It's a tangible demonstration of love poured out and overflowing. So come to this table, taste and see. Be reminded that regardless of your level of faithfulness or worthiness, you are welcomed here to receive once again the reminder of God's grace. Would you like to see God's glory? Well, here it is at the table. All are welcome. Let's share in communion together this morning. O God, we ask that you bless this holy meal to our bodies and our bodies to your continued service for Christ's sake. Amen.
The storm surrounding me, let it break at your name. Still, call the sea to still, the rage in me to still, every wave at your name. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble.
Our scripture for today is the lectionary gospel reading from Matthew. I'll be reading from the 22nd chapter, the 15th through the 22nd verses. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. "Teacher," they said, "we know that you are a man of integrity, and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, "You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax." They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, "Whose image is this, and whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they replied. Then he said to them, "Well, so give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, so they left him and went away. Do you think religion is supposed to be simple or complicated? Straightforward or obtuse and confusing? This isn't a trick question. In Jesus' time, the religious experience of the children of Israel was very complicated. You know, I've told you how there are over 600 laws regarding the Sabbath. Not only did it tell you what kind of food that you could eat, it also told you how exactly you went about preparing the food. It told you how far you could go on a journey on the Sabbath. It told you all sorts of details and ways to live your life. The scribes and the Pharisees were very serious about the details of their religion. The scribes, Pharisees, and lawyers took counsel on how to entangle Jesus on his own words. Now, don't get me wrong. I have nothing against lawyers. Some of my best friends are lawyers. Marilyn, if you're hearing this, you know I love you. But a lawyer's job is to explain complexities to their own client and make things more difficult and complex for the opposition. That's just the way it works. And they saw Jesus as the opposition, the lawyers and the scribes and the Pharisees. Why? Right before this, they tried to arrest Jesus, but the multitudes held him to be a prophet. But now they thought they had a surefire plan to trap Jesus in his own words. And they set the trap with milk and honey. They told him, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully." You know, they probably sounded like, remember the Grinch at the first of the Grinch tale? When he was still a bad guy, his heart had not grown two sizes. And he was in Cindy Lou Who's house, and he was stealing the Christmas tree, and Cindy Lou caught him. And his voice became so sweet and slippery when he told Cindy Lou that he was merely going to take the tree and repair the bulb that was out. Well, I imagine that's how the scribes and Pharisees sounded when they asked Jesus that question. They asked him, "Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" Well, you see, a no answer would please the people of Jerusalem because they didn't like the Romans, but a no answer would anger the Roman masters. And a yes answer would do just the opposite. It would anger the people, but please the Romans. They had him trapped, and they knew it. What could Jesus possibly do? Jesus simply told them, "Show me the money." You know, I hardly ever get to say that in a sermon. I don't remember what movie it was from. But Jesus looked at the coin, and I imagine that a sly smile came on his face. "Whose face is on the coin?" he asked innocently. "I wanted to get a denarius so I could show you during worship. I was bidding on one on eBay, and I thought I could get one for, you know, $20 or $30 maybe. But when the bidding got over $300, I thought better of it and that we would just talk about a denarius." "Whose face is on the coin?" Jesus asked. "Caesar," they answered. "Therefore, he said, 'Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's.'" I love the end of this pericope. Remember that word pericope? It just means paragraph. "When they had heard his answer, they marveled, and they left him and went away." Render unto Caesar. How does that question instruct us? What are our lessons to learn from this passage? Number one, we need to understand that our faith is not only about what happens in the sanctuary once the candles are lit. Our faith is meant to guide us in the remaining 167 hours of the week. And for you OCD people, yes, I did check the numbers. When Jesus said, "Render unto Caesar," I think that he meant that we should all strive to be good citizens. Does that mean a good citizen never disagrees with the government of their nation? Of course not. In fact, I believe it ensures that a nation's moral compass will be guided by the collective moral compass of the citizenry. And I do believe that Dr. Martin Luther King was right when he said the moral arc of the universe bends at the elbow of justice. We are to be good citizens, and we are to help lead our nation in ways that will be pleasing to God. When Jesus said, "Render unto God the things that are God's," we need to remember that our lives, our very lives, are gifts to us from God. What we do with our lives is our gift back to God. At the end of each day, ask, is the world a better place in some small way by the actions I have taken today? Listen again. Is the world a better place in some small way by the actions I have taken today? But in Jesus' time, the governing powers would not give up. Within a few days, the temple leaders and the Roman governors conspired to rid themselves of this Nazarene carpenter who turned into the people's prophet. The Roman governor took decisive action and gave up this prophet Jesus to be crucified. Wealth and power conspired to be rid of this meddlesome rabbi. But the good news, the really good news, is that you and I, the spiritual heirs of Christ Jesus, know the rest of the story. May God bless and keep each one of you until we see each other again.